On November 21st, the Colorado Farm Bureau membership elected a new leadership team from across the state. With that in mind, join the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio by telephone and Zoom conference call, that is Colorado Farm Bureau's newly elected president, Carlisle Currier, and we'll be discussing numerous topics, including the recent Colorado Farm Bureau virtual annual meeting. But first, I want to get to your background in agriculture, Carlisle, and what led you to the CFB, both as a member and your pursuit to be more involved as a director, vice president, and now as president.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian. I'm actually a fourth generation rancher over here in Western Colorado on the north slope of the Grand Mesa. My great grandfather came to the area and bought his first property in the area in 1891, and part of the land he bought in 1906 is part of my ranch today. So I'm fourth generation on this ranch. My son, who graduated from CSU 4 years ago, is back with me and is a fifth generation on our ranch, and we raise beef cattle primarily. We also raise a lot of irrigated alfalfa and grass and some small grains, but our main commodity is beef cattle. It's been a great place to make to live, a beautiful area. My dad always said it's a great place to live and a hard place to make a living, but we keep making it through. It's a wonderful place to live.
There is nothing like being on a farm in Colorado, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We're up in the mountains in a beautiful area. Yeah. Fortunately, the absentee owners haven't taken over our area like they have some of the mountain areas. So we still have quite a few family-owned ranches in our area, which makes it really nice outside of Coburn or Molina, Colorado. My involvement at Farm Bureau actually started kind of by accident. I went to Mesa County Farm Bureau annual meeting with my parents a few years after I was out of college, and they were looking for new board members, and I had a cousin there that was at that time president of Mesa County Farm Bureau, and he twisted my arm to get on the board, so I joined the Mesa County Farm Bureau board. That was about 1980, 79 or 80, and I went to the state annual meeting that year and watched the policy discussion at the annual meeting, and I was hooked. I said, this is the way policy is supposed to be discussed. This is truly grassroots with the policy decisions, recommendations coming from county farm bureaus and individuals in those county farm bureaus and then up through the ranks of the state and then discussed at the state. And it's a truly grassroots way to make decisions and to decide what policies that you want to have for your organization. I was hooked that first year and stayed involved then in Farm Bureau for the county level for quite a few years. I was county president for about 10 years. And then in 1996, when our District 9 board member was elected a county commissioner in Montrose County, I ran for the state board and have been on the state board since 1996. I was elected vice president in 2010 when Alan Fouts retired as president and Don Shawcroft moved up from vice president to president. So I've had 10 years as vice president, and this year the members put their trust and faith in me and elected me as the new president of Colorado Farm Bureau, which is a tremendous honor for me. It's a wonderful organization, being the voice for agriculture in Colorado and watching out for the interest of Colorado agriculture and the real values in Colorado. And I'm thrilled to be in this position. I have a very good staff to work with and a very good board. Been a lot of changes in our board the last couple of years. We've had quite a few board members retire. I think we figured we lost 86 years of experience this year on the board between Don Shawcroft and Angela Ryden, Phyllis Snyder, and Mark Garnish had left the board. And combined, they'd been on the board for 86 years. So we have a lot of new faces, and it's going to be a bit of a challenge in that way. But they're good young people that are enthusiastic about Farm Bureau's mission, and we will move forward. And I think we're going to accomplish some great things as we move forward in Farm Bureau.
We'll talk more about those new faces of leadership at the Colorado Farm Bureau in just a moment. But you mentioned Don Shawcroft. Any thoughts about your predecessor?
Don was a great leader. He was actually on the board when I first got elected. And one of the first things I did, we were having a lot of problems there in the late 90s with public lands issues. And Don and I both being public lands grazers and grazing our cattle in National Forest, we went to a public lands council meeting in Salt Lake. And that was really my first experience really working with him and watching the way that he was able to communicate with the other ranchers in that meeting. I saw immediately what a great leader Don was and a great spokesman for agriculture. And we became very good friends and worked together the last 10 years with him as president and, you know, just a tremendous mentor, the way he's led Colorado Farm Bureau. I've been saying all along, I can't feel his shoes, but I can stand on his shoulders and take the organization forward. He has been a tremendous asset for Colorado agriculture and will certainly be missed in that role. He's not going away. He's going to stay involved in a lot of things, but he will, stepping down from Farm Bureau, will be missed in our organization as president, but certainly gave all of us in that are following him a great example of leadership and been a great mentor to me. So.
And we wish him all the best in retirement. My guest once again is the newly elected Colorado Farm Bureau President Carlisle Currier. Now, because of the annual meeting, this is the first one I've missed in probably over a decade. You guys did a 10 regional locations for the annual meeting and you guys all participated virtually. And I missed your speech. And I suppose within your speech, you've got your mission that was laid out. So share it with our listeners right now. What is your mission as Colorado Farm Bureau's new president as you go forward?
Well, I think the big thing in agriculture in Colorado, we're going to continue to see even more challenges. Our state is becoming more and more urban, suburban based. So a smaller percentage of us are from agriculture, which means particularly those that are decision makers, those in the legislature and politics and those in regulatory agencies have a lot less knowledge of agriculture. So our job of educating them and communicating with them will become all the more important as we move forward. Our state has definitely moved farther toward the left in recent years. I don't know whether that's a permanent change, whether that pendulum will swing back the other way. I personally hope that we will move back a little more toward the center, but that may not happen. Whatever happens, we have to be able to work with those who are not by nature necessarily our best friends, people who don't see the need of agriculture in the way that we farmers and ranchers do. So communicating and educating those who have no agricultural background will be a very important part of what we have to do moving forward, and even more so than it has in the past. I've actually had some experience doing that. I've served the last 15 years on the Interbasin Combat Committee, and I've had to work with some people in the water field that are not necessarily people that understood to start with the importance of irrigated agriculture and why it's important to our state. Even those that are more interested in recreation or environmental concerns need to understand how important irrigated agriculture is to maintaining the water in our state the way it has been. And I think I've been successful in communicating that and building some friendships with some of those who may not necessarily be our best friends by nature, and they've really have created those coalitions which we're going to have to continue to do in the future as we work with legislators who have no understanding of agriculture.
Not only here at the state level, but it looks like we may have a new administration coming in 2021 with a whole new team at the USDA. So there's going to be a lot of work ahead for everybody that's involved in production agriculture. Getting back to that virtual annual meeting that just took place in November, tell me who the rest of the officer team is and what the results of the board of directors were.
Okay, sure. We did have a virtual meeting. We've been struggling all summer trying to figure out what we would do with the meeting. And initially we had made arrangements to have a one-day meeting at the stock show, the horse barn at the stock show complex. And then as COVID got worse, that got shut down. So we did move to a district meeting basis. We had each of the 10 districts were divided into and Farm Bureau meet as a district and connected everybody through Zoom technology, and we're able to hold our elections and our discussions through that meeting. I was elected the new president, moving up from vice president. We had three good candidates for vice president, and that was a contested election. It ended up that James Henderson from La Jara and down the San Luis Valley was elected vice president. He's a younger person. He's got five kids, so he's going to be real busy being vice president. And well, he got four kids and one on the way, so it's going to be very busy for him. But he's very energetic, a very sharp guy, and I look forward to working with him as we move forward. I think we'll have a good team. We also elected several new board members. Angela Ryden, who had been the District 10, the northwest part of the state, retired and was replaced by Callie Hendrickson. Callie has long been involved in a lot of agricultural activities and serves as the manager of the Rio Blanco area soil conservation districts. Welcome her aboard. She's been very active in Farm Bureau for a number of years. Phyllis Snyder, District 8, which is the southwest corner of the state, also retired after many years. She's been Secretary of Farm Bureau for the last 10 years, and she retired and was replaced by Charlie Minkler, who is from Durango area. Look forward to working with Charlie. He'd been president of La Plata County Farm Bureau for a few years, and will be a very good asset on the board, I think, and very active. We also, in District 2, Mark Arnish had been the board member. He was actually a candidate for vice president, but was not successful in being elected. But Nathan Weathers was elected to replace him as the District 2 board member. Nathan's from out in the Yuma area, raises corn out there and cattle operation. He was on the board a few years ago as a young farmer and rancher representative, and also served on the national AFBF Young Farmer and Rancher Committee. And we look forward to him being on the board back with us. And we've had that experience working with him when he was a YFNR chairman, and know he'll be a great asset to the board. And then in District 7, which includes primarily San Luis Valley, where James Henderson was elected vice president, he had to give up a seat then as board member, and David Brown was elected to replace him as a board member in District 7. David runs a sheep operation down in the Monte Vista area. So with those four new board members and those that are continuing, we will move forward, and I think we'll be able to work to be the voice of agriculture in Colorado.
Yeah, and congratulations to all those that were elected. And, you know, what makes these elections different than the national or state political elections is you guys are all, as the dust had settled, you guys are all still CFB members, and you'll all work together to move forward. And speaking of moving forward, Carlisle, usually at the annual meetings, the membership sets their policy decisions for the upcoming year. Was that the case this year?
Because of the nature of the meeting, we just didn't see how we could really have a good policy discussion under a virtual method of doing a meeting. So we have very good policy from last year, and we did not make changes to last year's policy book. So we will be just carrying forward the policies from last year. And we just, with the COVID restrictions, we just didn't feel we could meet in person, or weren't able to with the regulations to meet in person to really have discussions on policy issues. So we kind of punted that to the next year, and we just accepted the policy book as it was established for last year.
As we look forward into 2021, what's the state of the Colorado Farm Bureau from your standpoint and its future hold as we look toward 2021 and get the COVID era of 2020 behind us, hopefully?
Well, I certainly hope we get it behind us. I know I, for one, am sure tired of Zoom meetings. You can't, I say you spend twice as much time on the Zoom meetings you do in person and accomplish half as much. And, you know, you need to have that person-to-person contact to really accomplish things. And hopefully we'll be able to move forward to that before long. If we get a vaccine out there and things can get back a little more toward normal, we certainly are looking forward to that. We are not going to have a normal American Farm Bureau Federation annual meeting. It was scheduled in January in San Diego. The San Diego Convention Center right now is a homeless shelter, and I don't think that would work very well for a convention, even if we could be there. Of course, the regulations in California are such that there's no way we can do that. So it will be held virtually. We are going to have the policy resolutions for American Farm Bureau at the national level in January, and that will be preceded next week with the National Resolutions Committee, which is made up of all the state presidents, will be meeting virtually to go through policy recommendations from the various states, and some of the states did go ahead and send in policy, so we will discuss those and move what the state presidents feel should be moved forward to the annual meeting, and then the voting delegates will meet virtually in January. Hopefully, we think those of us in Colorado who are really our voting delegates will be able to meet together at the same place, probably the state office, and be able to discuss among ourselves policies we go forward and decide how to vote on those policies. But it's going to be a lot different. We certainly hope we can get back to the normal way of meeting by before long, and because it sure works a whole lot better.
And when I did the interview with your predecessor, Don Shawcroft, before the convention, I said, boy, it'd be nice to get back to hugs and handshakes in person as we get together and visit. And we got a lot to talk about when you look at the new administration that's potentially coming in January 20th. And then, like we said, all the changes that are going to happen at the USDA and all the programs that's probably going to change. So you guys have a lot of policies to look at. And speaking of policy changes and things that COVID's affecting, right now, Governor Jared Polis had called a special session. So as we talk right now during this interview, the state legislature is under that special session. And I know you guys have been keeping an eye on that. But anything you wanted to mention or any thoughts about the special session? And is it possible that agriculture might have some good news come out of this? Or is it more deemed toward those that are unemployed? Because, you know, thankfully, agriculture was deemed essential at this time for COVID.
Well, from what we've seen, I think most of the bills that are going to be passed in the special session will not have a lot of a direct effect on agriculture. We'd kind of hope to see some things with broadband. Certainly, those of us that have had to participate in Zoom meetings know what a problem it is with the poor internet in many rural areas. That it looks like what will be come out of the special session for, as far as help with that issue, will be primarily directed toward students that need to have help with having internet service to participate in online learning, which you know we think is very important. We actually have a lot of policy on education, on promoting our rural school districts, and it is a problem in many rural areas having good enough internet for kids to be able to participate in education and online learning, and whatever we can do to help with that is certainly being supported by Farm Bureau. But as far as any direct help to agriculture and to farmers from the special session, it's such a partisan divide in our state legislature at this point, and so anything that is going to be approved is going to have to be supported by the one side of the aisle, and there does not seem to be a lot of effort to include ideas from the other side of the aisle in policies that are passed. So it looks like we'll have to wait till January in the general session of the legislature to be able to move forward on a lot of our priority issues on what needs to be done. There's certainly a lot of things in the state that we are looking at, and the budget concerns are going to make it very tough for things like like the money needed for water development. That's very important. We're not going to have full funding for some of the very top priority issues we have. So we're going to have to learn how to make do without the amount of money we have, and how we can fill those shortages in other ways. And those will be an important issue as we move into the legislative session. We don't know for sure yet what's going to come in the general legislative session in January. We hear a few rumors here and there, but I don't really want to talk about rumors till we for sure those bills are going to be actually introduced. But we could have our hands full of some challenging issues as we move into the general session.
As I mentioned earlier, it's not just on the state level. We may be facing some huge issues on the national level too. We're in a lame duck session right now, and they're trying to get COVID aid, coronavirus relief in this next stimulus package. I don't even remember what round we're on now. Is this round 4 or round 5? But we'll have to see if they get anything out of there. Then you got the changeover, the state of Georgia right now, January 5th election. That's going to really determine if the Senate is controlled by the Republicans or taken over by the Democrats. So there's a lot that's coming up in face of agriculture. But you know what? We'll get through this together. We've done it as agriculturists since the beginning of George Washington starting the country. So right. I'm sure we'll make it. But boy, there's a lot to think about right now. And the holidays are upon us. And, we got to keep families first. That's the main thing. So as the Colorado Farm Bureau's annual meeting is in the rearview mirror now, are there any other upcoming events? You mentioned a couple there, but or other issues you want to make mention of that we might have missed?
Well, I think the big thing, we actually have a state board meeting coming up this Friday. As far as the organization of our board, we lost both our secretary and our treasurer of our board to retirement. So we will be electing from the board a new secretary and a new treasurer. And as we reorganize the board this coming Friday, and then we will also be going through a lot of our policy priorities. We have enough idea what is likely to be brought forward at both the state and national level as far as legislation and policy changes. So we will be setting our priorities of what we will be working the hardest on in that meeting in 2 days. You mentioned the national issues that we may be facing, and I think there's a lot of issues there that are going to be staring us down. We were very fortunate in the last few years to get some relief in regulations, especially things like WOTUS, that Waters of the U.S., that greatly affected Colorado agriculture if it had been implemented as the Obama administration attempted to do. We don't know what the future holds for that. There may be an attempt to move back toward more of that kind of change, and we'll have to be involved in that. There'll be a lot of issues involving things like international trade and regulations with that are going to be very important. Exports are extremely important to Colorado agriculture. We export a pretty high percentage of what's produced in Colorado goes to the export market. So international trade is very important, and we have to see what changes the Biden administration will try to make from where we're at now. But regulatory issues and the issues coming out of things like environmental rules and things like Endangered Species Act changes that we've got some relief on the last few years. Where are we going to go now? So we got to be prepared for all those type of issues.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about. You go through that list, and there's even some that we didn't even talk about, like the New Green Deal and what that would do to agriculture. Anyway, before I let you go, I know, as we mentioned, this is the holiday season. Any final thoughts, Carlisle?
Well, yeah, in thinking the holiday season in general, we just came out of Thanksgiving, and in spite of all the problems we face, this year as with COVID has been a terrible year for all of us in Colorado. Certainly the drought has affected our state so badly. Fires, everything that's gone on, it's not been a good year for agriculture. Our markets have been very erratic and really been in havoc because of the coronavirus. And with all those things, we still live in the greatest country in the history of the world. We have much to be thankful for. God has been good to us. And as we go into the Christmas season, we just wish everyone a very good Christmas, a very happy and cheerful time to be with family and to count your blessings. And as bad as things have been this year, they could always be a lot worse. We have much to be thankful for.
Yeah, we don't have the killer bees. We don't have the feral swine. Who knows? Maybe they're on the road before the end of the year. Thanks to my guest, Carlisle Courier. I really appreciate your time and congratulations once again on being elected as president of the Cobbettville Farm Bureau. Wish you all the best in 2021 and beyond. And for my family and our barn, to you, your family, and to everyone at the Cobbettville Farm Bureau, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Cobbettville Farm Bureau works to promote and protect the future of agriculture and rural values. They are rural strong. You can learn more online and become a CFB member at cobbettvillefarmbureau.com.